This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hi and welcome to this first episode of Explain podcast series by Money Control. I'm your host Keertana Tiwari, and with me I have Shraddha Sharma, and both of us are going to break down and decode some current affairs and topics chosen by you listeners. As we are all staying at home and working from home, we thought it's most appropriate to talk about coronavirus to kick off this series. Hi and welcome to the show, Shraddha.
Hi, Keertana. Thank you for having me.
Shraddha, let's begin with, what is coronavirus? I know we have been hearing about it in the news, but it's also important to know where it's coming from and what exactly it is. And why is it different from the other viruses and other outbreaks that we have seen in the world?
So first of all, coronavirus is actually a family of viruses, and they range from different strains. So basically, common cold is also caused by a type of coronavirus only, although it's a different strain. Previously, we have seen the SARS epidemic in 2002 and 3 in China. That was also one of the strains of the coronavirus. And the MERS epidemic in Saudi Arabia was also that. So basically, Keertana, this type of virus is different from what the world or India has seen previously. To answer second part of your question, is that basically some viruses circulate in animals and some in the humans. When these viruses transmit between species, it's called a spillover event. And this is one such event because humans do not have a natural immunity to this strain of coronavirus. So that's why it is different. It is new to the humans, and it's because previously there were speculations before, when the SARS epidemic had come, that from which animal possibly this virus could spill over from. And there were civet cats that time. Those were the possible transmitters. In MERS also, there was questions around camels being the transmitters of this virus.
Right. Shraddha, let's talk about the symptoms of coronavirus. Can you tell us about the order of symptoms that takes place?
So, Keertana, this virus has pneumonia-like symptoms. So, you might suffer cold, cough, fever, breathing difficulty. There might be a bit of a temperature. And, if you might be coughing continuously, and the incubation period is said to be from 2 to 14 days. That means after 1 or 2 days, you might start having the symptoms in case you have traveled to one of these places, which are now hotspots of the coronavirus outbreak, or you had exposure to someone who had. In that case, you need to consult the medical professionals and get in touch with the helpline numbers that has been provided by the government. Right now, since there is no community transmission, it is not advised, if you don't have a travel history or you haven't come in contact with anybody who had. Also, there is a possibility that there might be a common cold or weather change, or you are coughing because of pollution. So it's good to take medical advice if you think you had possible exposure.
Right. And how exactly does this disease spread?
When the virus actually first started in China last year in November, December, as per reports, it wasn't established that it will have a person-to-person spread. But after it was established, we know that the virus is thought to spread mainly from person to person who are in close contact with one another. And it is usually assumed that within about 6 feet. Because respiratory droplets are produced by the person, if the person coughs or sneezes or is talking also. If the respiratory droplets are produced, that might have the coronavirus. They can land in the mouth, nose, eyes of the person who is, who might possibly inhale it. And since the incubation period, as I previously mentioned, is between 2 to 14 days, people might still be contagious without showing any of the symptoms that includes cough, a fever, or any of the pneumonia-like symptoms. So it is possible, because there is no order as such in which, as per the reports that they have suggested, because exposure to the virus has a different reaction in terms of some people who have an underlying condition or are sick with an underlying condition have reacted more critically to the virus. Their recovery is a little more time taken. Some people recover within 2 weeks of the exposure, and some are mild cases. So it really depends. It's important in terms of exposure is to socially distance yourself and go into a quarantine or self-isolation. Even if you have been tested positive but you have a travel history, is a precautionary measure that has been suggested. Also, the spread from contaminated surfaces or objects is also seen. Objects like doorknob or a staircase railing or any of that things which have been possibly touched or the virus has spread to these objects, and your mobile phone also, because you need to clean your mobile phone often because you might touch it with unclean hands.
Right. Shraddha, also a very important question is, many reports are suggesting that only elders are more prone to the disease. And in fact, within my friends and family, many of the elders are worried that, you know, they may be prone to the disease and they're taking more precautions. Does this mean that children cannot contract it or something like that? And can pets also carry the virus?
So Kirtana, if we talk about children, the youngest person to actually catch the COVID-19 disease is a newborn baby in New York. But as per the CDC website, that is the disease control website in the US, has said that, you know, it appears that the infection is milder among children compared to adults. But this is based on limited reports from China, and they are still studying the virus. Even infants and young children might catch this disease. So anybody can catch the disease, although it is appearing that children are catching a milder infection. But this is also based on limited reports and may not be entirely true. And if we look at the previous coronavirus outbreaks, that is SARS, basically patients who were younger than 12 years of age had milder and shorter illnesses compared to adults, and no deaths were reported. And also, if we talk about MERS, death was actually rare among children with MERS. But it is still unknown that children with underlying medical conditions, will they be at equal risk compared to adults who are also have similar underlying condition. And Kirtana, if we talk about elderly people, so it is, we have clearly seen as per the global numbers, so elderly people and those who have underlying health problems are particularly vulnerable from coronavirus, and the case might get serious in their cases. So that is that. And if we talk about pets, WHO had previously said that there was no evidence that pets, dogs and cats can carry the COVID-19 infection, although there was one dog in Hong Kong that was tested weak positive because the owner of the pet was also, you know, tested positive, and it was assumed that the dog might have picked up the disease from one of the surfaces at home. But later it was found out that the dog does not have an infection. Although, as per the latest reports, that it's a good idea to avoid kissing your pets, although it is still unclear if they can carry the infection.
Coming to what we can do about it, Shraddha, how can we prevent ourselves from the coronavirus? And also, what are some of the myths that are going around?
The health organizations have clearly said that one of the major precautions that one should be taking is cleaning your hands often. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds because we keep on touching different surfaces, and we have already discussed that the virus can spread from infected surfaces. And in case you do not have access to soap and water, use a hand sanitizer that has at least 60 to 70% alcohol, because it mostly kills all the viruses in your hands. But it is always preferred to use soap and water. And then if you're traveling or any of that, then it's important that you use a hand sanitizer. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, face. because you don't know if you have washed your hand right before you touch your face. This is how the infection spreads. It is also recommended to avoid any close contact. Right now, social distancing is the, you know, recommended way to avoid any sort of infection. If you have any of the symptoms, it's better to stay back at home and avoid any close contact with people who also appear sick. And if you are sick, you should also stay back. And as we said, that in case you need a medical attention, you should go for it as well. So distancing from people, maintaining personal hygiene, especially hand hygiene, and cleaning objects and spaces around you. And it is also recommended that you wear a face mask only if you are sick. If you have any of the coughs and sneezes that we are talking about, then if you are going out, you should wear a mask. And if you are not sick, you do not need a mask unless you are taking care of someone who is sick. So face masks are usually for caregivers and medical professionals who are taking care of people who have COVID-19. There's a report by QZ that says, since we do not know for how long the virus can stay on objects, it is possible that it can stay on your phone for up to 96 hours. So it's always a good idea to also clean your phone with alcohol wipes or the sanitizers, and also clean doorknobs and the common places that many people might be touching, in case you're coming home and many people have entered with the same doorknob. So it's a good idea to clean everything around you. And Kirtana, since you also asked about myths on coronavirus, so the WHO has clarified on a lot of things. So as of now, COVID-19 can be transmitted in all areas, hot or humid climates as well. So regardless of climate, you need to, you know, adopt preventive measures. Avoid all sorts of non-required and unnecessary travel right now, because even cold weather and snow cannot kill the new virus. And also, taking a hot bath does not prevent the new coronavirus disease. And also, it is important to note that the new coronavirus cannot be transmitted through mosquito bites. And there was also a question that, are hand dryers effective in killing the new coronavirus? So no, hand dryers are not effective in killing the COVID-19 virus. Can an ultraviolet disinfection lamp kill the new coronavirus? Well, UV lamps should not be used to sterilize hands or other areas of the skin, as UV radiation can cause a major skin irritation. And how effective are thermal scanners in detecting people infected with the new coronavirus? So the WHO website says that the thermal scanners are effective in detecting people who have developed fever because of infection of the new coronavirus, but they cannot detect people who are infected but are not yet sick with fever, as we discussed the incubation period being between 2 to 14 days. Also, can spraying alcohol or chlorine all over your body kill the new coronavirus? Well, no, spraying alcohol or chlorine all over your body will not kill viruses that have already entered your body. So avoid spraying harmful substances on yourself. And do vaccines against pneumonia protect you against the new coronavirus? Well, no. This is also untrue. And also, influenza type B vaccine do not give any protection. So that is also important to note. Also, can regularly rinsing your nose with saline help prevent infection? That is also untrue. Also, there were a lot of WhatsApp forwards that said that eating garlic will help prevent the infection with the new coronavirus. Garlic is a healthy food, but there is no evidence that the current outbreak can be controlled by eating garlic, and it does not give protection. And antibiotics effective in preventing the new coronavirus? Well, we have discussed this, that antibiotics do not work on viruses and they work only on bacteria. But are there any specific medicines that, you know, could possibly prevent or treat the new coronavirus? Well, to date, there is no specific medicine recommended to prevent the new coronavirus. So all prevention that we have has to do with hygiene and social distancing is what the WHO recommends.
Right. And also, what do we do if we get a flu or, you know, symptoms similar to the coronavirus? Do we immediately go to the doctor, or what exactly should we be doing?
It's a very important question, and I would like to quote AIIMS director, Dr. Randeep Guleria. So this is the season where you might be getting normal flu also. So right now there is no need to get testing done if you have not traveled to any of the coronavirus impacted country, or you have not traveled abroad at all. Also, you have not come in close contact in terms of family, colleague, friends who have been tested positive, who has a lab confirmed case of being positive with COVID-19. There is no need to get yourself tested as of now. But in case there's someone who has been tested positive and you have come in close contact with the person and you have not developed any symptoms, then also you need to start a process of self-isolation for at least 14 days. And in case you develop symptoms, you need to inform the medical authorities and get yourself tested from one of the centers.
Right, Shraddha, coming to the most important part of the conversation, who can we approach when we get coronavirus, and can you let us know the helpline numbers?
So for reliable information, for global queries, you should refer the WHO website. All queries related to India, you should visit the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare website. They have put out a central helpline number for coronavirus, and that is 011-239-78046. I'll repeat, 239-78046. And there's an email address also that has been provided for helpline, and that is ncov2019@gov.in. ncov2019@gov.in. So these two have been provided on the Health Ministry website. Also on the website homepage, you can get the helpline numbers of states and union territories. So there are 28 numbers provided for each state plus 8 numbers for the union territories. So you could refer the website, because in case you have symptoms or you have possibly come in contact with somebody who has shown symptom or has a travel history, instead of, you know, directly visiting the medical institutions or the centers that have been put out for testing, it's always a good idea to make a call before actually going to the facility, because it's always nicer to give a heads up to the facilities as well.
Thank you so much, Shraddha, for that information. I'm sure this is going to help a lot of people out there. For you listeners out there, Shraddha and I are so excited to have launched Explained podcast series. Do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more topics and for more ideas, suggestions, feedback, anything that you want to share with us. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.